The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Prom?
Yeah, the senior prom. You know, everybody's going.
It's that teacher that called, wasn't it?
Please see that I'm not like you, Mom. I'm funny. I mean, all the kids think I'm funny. I don't want to be. I want to be normal. I want to start to try and be a whole person before it's too late for me to... His name's Tommy Ross, and he's a very nice boy, Mom.
No.
And he promised to stop him, and
I
maybe
said
you
no.
Can phone him and my minute, Mama. I'm
no,
accepted,
no,
Mama.
No, no,
I've accepted, Mama. I've accepted.
Come to your closet.
No. After all you've been taught,
everyone isn't bad, Mama. Everything isn't a sin.
Come to your closet and pray. Ask to be forgiven.
He's a nice boy, Mom. You like him. You really like him, Mama.
Boy. The boys. The boys. Yes, the boys.
Oh, that's a scene from Carrie, based on a Stephen King novel. And Stephen King's adaptations, that's our theme for this week's Inside Hollywood. I'm joined by pop culture journalist and podcaster Dee Reddy. Dee, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
So many adaptations.
So many. Do you know, it's almost impossible to put a number on how many film adaptations there's been for Stephen King, because Carrie was the first one that was adapted to the big screen in 1976. But he since became aware of how well his stories could be adapted. Yeah. And he developed this system called the Dollar Baby System, which meant that any film student or amateur theatre production could, for the price of $1, adapt his work to the stage or the big screen. And what's resulted is you now have film festivals. This only finished up in 2023. You now have film festivals
dedicated to adaptations,
because they can't be released commercially on the basis of that $1 agreement. But you can go and see all these amateur or student films that have been created by fans of
in terms work. Of the big screen, was Carrie the first?
Carrie was the very, very first, but it's been pretty steady stream since then. You had Stand By Me, which was another massive hit in 1986, and I think that's a good one to look at as well, because people often associate him with maybe the horror genre, yeah. But his work is much, much broader. Stand By Me is very famously a kind of coming of age film, although it is quite dark. And then, of course, you have The Shawshank Redemption, which is completely different in 1994.
Okay, let's have a listen to a clip from that.
Andy Dufresne, who crawled through a river of shit and came out clean on the other side. Andy Dufresne, headed for the Pacific.
Hadley's got him by the throat, right? And he says, I believe this boy's about to have himself an accident.
Those of us who knew him best talk about him often. I swear the stuff he pulled.
Maybe these friends of mine could use a couple of beers.
And he got it.
And he got it.
Sometimes it makes me sad, though, Andy being gone. I have to remind myself that some birds aren't meant to be caged. Their feathers are just too bright. And when they fly away, the part of you that knows it was a sin to lock them up does rejoice. But still, the place you live in is that much more drab and empty that they're gone. I guess I just miss my friend.
Oh,
Morgan
wonderful.
Freeman, fantastic.
Yeah.
How much of that dialogue, though, would go back to Stephen King's own?
So, I mean, I'm not actually aware of that, to be honest, because the Shawshank Redemption, the film, is actually based on a short story. So there would have been a lot of work, obviously, in taking that and turning it into a full film. Funnily enough, it's the short story was called Rita Hayworth and the Shawshank Redemption. It's from the same book of short stories that only had five. It's called Different Seasons, that was responsible for The Body, Apt Pupil and Stand By Me, which we were just talking about. There's one other story in it that's never been adapted, and it's kind of largely considered by Hollywood to be like there's no one could ever do it, but definitely worth a read for
now,
fans.
Shawshank Redemption is on every channel regularly, but it wasn't a hit to begin with.
No, it wasn't. It kind of became a cult hit or a sleeper hit, which is kind of amazing when you think of it today, because certainly for my generation, it would have been one of those films that many people would have listed as their favourite film of all time.
Now talk to me about The Shining and the manner of its writing, first of all.
Yeah, so The Shining came about when Stephen King himself was going through a bit of a dry period and was really, really struggling. Writer's block, as you might call it. And he went with his wife to the Stanley Hotel near Boulder, Colorado, and just felt really, really spooked by the energy there and the fact that it was quite empty at the time because they were slightly off season and they were the only guests in the place. And he saw all these big, long, empty corridors, and that inspired the work that became Stanley Kubrick's really famous film. But funnily enough, he didn't like the Stanley Kubrick adaptation. There was a really kind of, I've watched it, naff TV adaptation in the kind of early 90s. And Stephen King much, much preferred that because it was truer to his original source material than Kubrick's version. And I suppose, and you'll hear this in the clip, the writer really does become much more of the monster in the Kubrick adaptation than maybe the hotel itself. Perhaps that's why he didn't like it.
Let's have a listen.
Oh, come on, hon. Don't be so grouchy.
I'm not being grouchy. I just want to finish my work.
Okay, I understand. I'll come back later on with a couple of sandwiches for you, and maybe you'll let me read something then.
Wendy, let me explain something to you. Whenever you come in here and interrupt me, you're breaking my concentration. You're distracting me, and it will then take me time to get back to where I was. Understand?
Yeah.
Fine. And we're going to make a new rule. Whenever I'm in here and you hear me typing, whether you don't hear me typing, whether the f*** you hear me doing in here, when I'm in here, that means that I am working. That means don't come in. Now, do you think you can handle that?
Yeah.
Fine. Why don't you start right now and get the f*** out of here?
God,
Jack Nicholson at his most creepy.
Absolutely. And poor Shelley Duvall, like, she has come out and talked about, and other people that were involved in the making of the film as well, really talked about, like, Kubrick gave her a very, very tough time on set in order to get that terrified portrayal out of her. She's amazing in it. And she has said that she, you know, she would go back and do it again if the opportunity was there. Stephen King himself wasn't a fan. Weirdly, there's a sequel. It's a direct sequel to the Kubrick film starring Ewan McGregor called Dr. Sleep. And he does like that. So it's funny. It's just it's just that an original portrayal. He wasn't a fan of.
Others, The Green Mile, another favourite.
Another absolute favourite. Another brilliant one, of course, is Misery with James Caan and Kathy Bates. I mean, I think...
She's terrifying.
Ooh, oh, she is terrifying in it. And again, it's another one where the sort of the main character is a writer. So obviously Stephen King's a fan of that old adage, write what you know, Pat.
It's the stuff of his own nightmares, maybe.
Indeed, yeah.
A super fan.
And he does a good job of putting his own nightmares into all of ours, I think, as well.
Well, the work of Stephen King, and much of it that we will never see because it's
unless
done
you get
by
a ticket to one of those festivals,
absolutely. Dee Reddy, a pop culture journalist and podcaster, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.